We're here to talk about the Indiana Pacers, their 2019-20 season, the offseason, what it means for the years ahead. Michael Bolton.
Let's get to it.
Let's get to it, indeed.
You are Locked On Fantasy Basketball, your daily fantasy basketball podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Hello and welcome to the Locked On Fantasy Basketball Podcast, brought to you by Basketball Monster. My name is Josh Lloyd and I am the lead fantasy analyst at basketballmonster.com and at Yahoo Sports Australia. And you can find me on Twitter as always at redrock_bball and on Instagram at Locked On Fantasy Basketball. As I said, we're looking at the Indiana Pacers, talking about their season, what we can make of what could be a weird offseason for this Pacers team and next year. There's a lot of question marks about this squad. You guys brought the question, so let's go straight into the Discord chat where everyone who is a Patreon of the show accesses the new Discord chat. Some good activity going on over there. Irv Dizzle, he just comes out hard with five big questions. Outlook for Brogdon and outlook for Miles Turner. There's a couple right there. Well, that's really broad. I'll talk about those guys more a little bit later on. Here's a question that everyone wants to know that Irv's chucked out there. Is bubble TJ Warren, is he still in the bubble or can he transfer that into the regular season? Now, we know that TJ Warren was ridiculously good during that portion of the bubble, especially during the regular season seeding games where he was the third ranked player in fantasy. He played 36 minutes a night and scored 31 points per game. He shot 58 from the field, 89 from the line, 52% from three. So there's a couple of things there that have no chance of continuing. 36 minutes, probably not going to happen unless Mike D'Antoni gets the Pacers head coaching job. And then there is a chance that he plays 36 minutes a night. So let's not rule that one out completely. 3.7 threes per game, 52% shooting. I'll call it now. It's not happening. He's not doing that. 1.2 blocks per game, probably not going to happen as well. 58% shooting from the field and 61% from two. It's not completely outrageous. He's a 50 plus guy most of the time, but that's probably a little bit high. Because then you look at what he did in the playoffs. He was a 47% shooter against Miami and he scored 20 points per game in 39 minutes. Still really, really good, but obviously not at that same level. Over the course of the season, he was just under 20 points per game. He blocked half a shot per game. He shot 54% from the field. He shot 40% from three on only 3.5 attempts. Now, in those seeding games in the bubble, he was attempting almost 6 threes per game. So there is quite a bit of difference in the way that his game looked and how successful he was during that time, where I think we have to have some pretty significant doubts of Warren being able to do that again. The minutes may stay up. That efficiency has zero chance of staying up. The blocks won't stay that high. But I think now I'm pretty down on this guy in the past because he'd lacked a three-point ball. He'd lacked defensive stats, but he brought the threes up. He brought the defensive stats up. He, at this point, is probably the best scorer on this team, but we also have to remember that in those bubble games, there was no Domantas Sabonis and there was a little bit of Victor Oladipo, but we'll talk about Oladipo soon. But mainly, there was no Sabonis, which enabled that usage for Warren to be at 28% when it was at 23% during the regular season. And that's one of those real reasons for it to go as high as it did. Will we get some mileage out of the Go-Go Mobile? Good old Go-Go Badadze. Not really. Not while Sabonis and Miles Turner are on this team. That doesn't mean they're going to be on this team. There's heaps of rumors about Turner perhaps wanting out and maybe them trading him. And that would open up some value there for Badadze. I think Goga's still going to be a good player in the NBA, whether it's on this team or another team. It won't be happening for a few years' time, so don't expect too much out of Goga for this upcoming season. Captain Sprinkle says, how likely is a Miles Turner for Drew Holiday trade? I'd love it. I think it actually works fantastically for both teams. It will put Drew playing on a team with both of his brothers. Actually, that's not true because we don't know where Justin's going to go as a free agent this offseason, but at least with Aaron. And Miles Turner is the perfect complement for Zion Williamson. I don't know why the Pacers are valuing someone like Sabonis ahead of Miles Turner. I think what Turner does is significantly more valuable, but they don't seem to be valuing him that way, and they could be looking to move on, or he could be looking to get out of Indiana as well. I'd say that out of rumored trades that that you hear bandied about, this one actually makes quite a bit of sense for both of these teams. I could see that happening, especially if they do look to move on from Victor Oladipo as well. So I'd say it's still, you know, anytime you hear a trade likely or a trade rumor, the chance of it happening is like max 5%. This one might be at 4%, but it's still higher than the majority of those the trades that you hear. B-Dub says, Aaron Holiday, is he a future starting point guard in the NBA? How does he compare with his brothers? Well, they're all really different, these guys, Drew and Justin. Justin is a defensive guy who really can't distribute and handle the ball and, you know, shaky with his shooting. Drew Holiday, elite defender, ball handler, really high-level scorer. Aaron Holiday, yeah, probably more of a shooter than a defender. He's almost like an in-between between Drew and where Justin sits. Can he be a future starting point guard? I think he struggled this year when he was given that opportunity and given that excess role. And then Nate McMillan went back to TJ McConnell, which I still think was the incorrect decision from Nate. Maybe that's one of the reasons he ended up getting fired. But I think Aaron Holiday can be a starting point guard in the league. I think he can be maybe a best case scenario as a Jeff Teague-like point guard with probably better, with definitely better three-point shooting. He was a 39% three-point shooter this year. So I still have some faith in Holiday being able to get there. Who is the best fit as coach for this team? That's from Dazza. D'Antoni looks to be a name that's in the mix, which would be super interesting. I think D'Antoni would get a lot out of Brogdon. You'd get a lot out of TJ Warren. You'd get a lot out of Miles Turner. I think he's probably perfect. Otherwise, one of those guys, Darvin Ham, Chris Finch, Ime Udoka, Sam Cassell, I'd love to see them try down the assistant route. They've had some success with guys like Frank Vogel in that role before and try and build up that way. I think that would be pretty interesting. JB says, are there any TJs in this upcoming draft? I wonder if I need to get a bet down on the Pacers taking them. Of course, that is really humorous, JB, because this is the team with every single TJ in the league played on this team. TJ Warren, TJ McConnell, and of course, the good old TJ Leaf. I don't think there's any TJs coming up in this draft, but very humorous. Harley, is Miles Turner a key piece offensively for this team? No. He is not. He is not a key piece offensively. Defensively, sure, he's the guy that makes everything happen. But his usage was under 18%, which is really, really poor. Warren, Sabonis, Brogdon, and Depot take all the shots. I'm worried Turner will be stuck taking threes. If things stay as they are, then yes, that's pretty much what is going to happen. He's just not going to get those opportunities. He's not a guy that's ever going to be a 26 or 27% usage player, but he can be 21, 22 in the right scenario. Now, that might occur with this team. Does Kevin Pritchard, you know, decide to deal guys like Turner, like Oladipo, and open things up for whoever remains or for Turner on a new team? Yeah, but he's never going to be a high usage player. And of course, Matt Lawson's our dynasty ADPs. Do you buy Sabonis at ADP 39? Sabonis is 24, and he was the 43rd ranked player this year. He played 35 minutes. Can he get better than what he was? Yeah, probably he can improve his free throw percentage a little bit, so I'd buy him at that. Miles Turner at 48. Turner was a 66th ranked player this year. You know, I've had plenty of concerns about Turner and his game, and I think he gets overrated quite a bit in terms of fantasy production. Can he be better than what he was? Yeah, absolutely. I'd take him at 48 for sure, while Oladipo had an ADP of 58. Now, Vic struggled during the portion of the season, and in the playoffs, he averaged 18 points per game, but the shot is just not there. He is never, in my opinion, going to be that top 12 player that he was a couple of years ago. Like, forget that. Can he go back to being inside the top 50? Yes, so I would buy him at 58. Malcolm Brogdon at 68. Would I buy him at that price? Brogdon is almost 28. He seems to be injured all the time. He can have moments where he's better than that. I think that's probably the right area, but I'm not super excited about it. Well, TJ Warren at 71, yeah, I'll buy that for sure. Warren was the 52nd ranked player this year. He's only 27. You're going to get at least, I'd say, 2 years of value beating that number. Goga's at 166. It's maybe a little bit rich. I still believe in Batadze, but there is a risk associated with that. Aaron Holiday at 174, I would buy that. Jeremy Lamb at 203. Lamb, of course, suffered that knee injury, which was pretty significant. He probably will be back at some point next year, but he was 113th ranked player in large part because Oladipo was out for big chunks of the season. Now Oladipo might be gone. They might want to trust Lamb, but I don't think that Jeremy Lamb is a player that you'd want to trust as a starting shooting guard, especially coming off this sort of injury. But at that level, 203, absolutely I would take it. And then the last guy is Justin Holiday at 251. That's a wild ADP considering this bloke was the 146th ranked player, but he's going to turn 32 this year, Justin Holiday, and I don't think that his fantasy value is all that high. His upside is absolutely zero. So, Yeah, when you look at it at the start, it looks like a wild ADP, but I think it's actually okay given his age. It's probably about the right area for Justin Holliday. If you're looking for parts for your car, why would you go into a local auto store when rockauto.com is right there at your fingertips? Rockauto.com is a family business and they've been serving auto parts customers online for 20 years. Go to rockauto.com now and shop for auto and body parts from hundreds of manufacturers. There's so many different parts and little things that you need for your car, but it's impossible to stock it all in a retail store. And those blokes are going to charge you way more money because they have different prices for professionals and for do-it-yourselfers. At rockauto.com, the catalog is unique and remarkably easy to navigate. You can quickly see all of the parts available for your vehicle and you can choose the brands, specifications, and the prices you prefer because the prices are always reliably low at rockauto.com and they're the same for professionals and do-it-yourselfers. Why would you spend up to twice as much for the same parts? Go to rockauto.com right now and see all the parts available for your car or truck and write "Locked On" in their "How did you hear about us" box so they know that we sent you. Amazing selection, reliably low prices, all the parts your car will ever need, rockauto.com. We get tired during the day. We know that. You hit that wall 3 p.m., 4 p.m., 5 p.m. and sometimes our go-to decision is, let's get an energy drink. But the crash that comes after that, it's not good. Built Go is the healthy replacement for your energy drink because the energy is not fake. It's lasting and it's natural and you don't have to worry about that crash afterwards. Whether it's a mental or a physical wall, you can break through it with Built Go every day. It's in easy to take 1.5 ounce packages. Put it in your briefcase for the most focused presentation ever. Put it in your fanny pack if you're hitting the gym. Just chuck it in your pockets because Built Go is the little workout gel that's going to get you through the day. Three delicious flavors, peanut butter honey, coconut chocolate, and chocolate mint. It combines energy gel with collagen protein. The collagen protein helps promote joint, soft tissue, hair, and skin health, and the stuff literally makes you not only feel better, but look better as well. Beta-alanine, B3, honey, caffeine, B6, B12 to go along with that collagen protein. If you go to builtgo.com and use the promo code LOCKED, you'll get 20% off your next order. Use that promo code LOCKED for 20% off at builtgo.com. Let's go. Let's go indeed, because we have Twitter questions to answer about this Pacers team as well. Yezra, is there any hope for Turner to turn his potential into production this year? I've been waiting for him to break out what feels like forever. I feel like there's so many mislabeled narratives about Miles Turner. People are just consistently disappointed with this guy, and I don't know what they're expecting. Yes, that first season that Oladipo came over, we expected Turner to at least see his usage rise significantly and be the number one focus on this team. And it didn't happen. But what he does is he scores, he hits threes, he blocks shots. He's a good free throw shooter. This is a guy that's had two top 35 fantasy finishes in the last 4 years. Four in the top 70. And a couple of those years were disappointing. And he does it on these limited minutes games. But he's a guy that shoots the ball well. He blocks over two shots a game in three of the last four seasons. He's scoring that 13 to 14 points. I'm not really sure what more we're expecting. Can he, best case scenario, be a 17 and 7 with two blocks player hitting two threes per game? And I think that is where the real intrigue is here. What coach is coming in? Because Nate McMillan does not emphasize a three-point shot. Will the new coach say, Miles, don't just take 40, but he took 40% of his shots from three this year. The previous year is 25%. Are they going to come in and say, don't just take four threes a game, take six threes a game, go Jaren Jackson volume and hit 2.5 threes per game at 35 to 40%. Because that really opens it up. Then he's a 15 and 7 guy with 2.5 threes and two blocks. And he is a consistent top 30, top 40 player. So I'm not really worried about where he is. He's never going to be an elite player. But he's still got a really, really good value area. Jonathan Chown, if the season starts in late January as expected, Jeremy Lamb will have had 11 months to recuperate from his injury. Do I expect him to reach the top 100? God, no, I do not, because he's coming back off an injury. Even this year, he was the 113th ranked player. He played 28 minutes. He's just not that good. He can be inconsistent. And the main reason why he was even ranked that high is he averaged 1.2 steals. If that drops off a little bit, then he's not going to be that good. I think he's a guy that has these little runs. Maybe it helps if Oladipo's traded, then definitely it helps. But this is a guy that's also 28 and he's going to be 29 by the end of next season. Maybe they look to bring more minutes for Aaron Holiday next to Malcolm Brogdon there, or they bring in another guard in the Oladipo trade. I would not be putting any money on Jeremy Lamb being a top 100 player. Ben is on Instagram, Ben Mralka. If Miles Turner gets traded, is Sabonis a top 10 roto player next season? In absolutely no way, shape, or form is he a top 10 player. So I'm not guaranteeing that, but it's as pretty close to a guarantee as I can give you. Which teams, from Petter Bye Jensen, which team should trade for Victor Oladipo? Oladipo is a free agent the summer after this one, so he's got 1 year left on his contract. He appears out. He is not the player that he was 2 years ago. That injury was debilitating. He is not that same guy. I'd love to see him in Dallas. I think that would work pretty well. I think nearly every team can use a Victor Oladipo without him, but he's got to rein it in because he came back to this team and he was like, oh, well, I'm going to take every shot. Well, no, Vic, you're not that guy anymore. We've got other guys who can take their shots. Focus more on defense. Be a distributor. Work on your shooting. Be a solid usage player, but not a 30 usage. Be a 24 usage guy and don't be as inefficient as you were. But Dallas would be awesome to see him there playing alongside Luka Doncic. Is Oladipo cooked? Yeah, pretty close to it. Kitty Ulf, is there a chance there is a perfect place for Turner that he can be a top 30 player? Yeah, as I said, nearly any team, and it could even be this team, if they say shoot more threes and play more than 29 minutes a game. New Orleans would be great. If a coach could come in here and say he plays 33 minutes a night and he takes seven threes a game, then he'll be a top 30 player. I feel pretty good about that. Is Miles Turner worth taking with a late pick? Early pick. I don't really see, again, people hate Miles Turner, and I don't really understand why the hate is as high as it is. All right. That's a lot of talk on the Pacers, so let's get into these players individually now and look at their value and the season that they just had and what that could mean. Now, this team doesn't have a first-round draft pick, of course. They traded it to the Milwaukee Bucks as part of the Malcolm Brogdon sign and trade, so they don't have their first-round pick. Their first pick is in pick 40, I think, in the second round. So let's have a look. The first player we're going to look at here, as I mentioned already, Domantas Sabonis was the 43rd ranked player. Big PIPM, positive Raptor, 59 true shooting, averaged 19 and 12 with 5 assists. So that's where the value is. Big rebounds, good scoring, good assists. No steals, no blocks, no threes, subpar free throw percentage. So one of those categories there, the three steals and blocks and free throws that he can improve on, to me it's free throws. He's never going to get defensive numbers. Will he ever get more than 18-19 points per game? Maybe, but I don't think you want him being a 28% usage player. The rebounds at 12, it feels like it's pretty capped, but go from 72 to 80% from the line, I think is a possibility, and that probably jumps him up a little bit. But really strong stuff from Sabonis, should be able to maintain at this level. Now, the only concern you have is he played 35 minutes. So if it's found that the next team that comes in wants him to do some different things and doesn't want him to be the number one offensive option, which is how the Pacers used him for most of the season. Remember, also, most of the season that he played was without Victor Oladipo. Oladipo only played 19 games and he was nowhere near Victor Oladipo during that time. So if Oladipo is somewhat back to his best, then Sabonis may not have 35 minutes or 23 usage, and that might make him fall off. So there are going to be some interesting dynamics at play here with Sabonis. He's only 24, so he's still got some room to improve, and I think that's going to come in that shooting, and maybe he can become a three-point shooter. Remember, in his first season for the Thunder, that's really all he did. He didn't shoot it well, but he shot a lot of threes, and then he just cut that out of his game completely. I don't expect him to be someone that takes threes really at all, and his game is a little bit of a weird mismatch in terms of today's NBA, and that combination of him and Turner, I had some skepticism about it. It worked pretty well, those two guys playing together. It wasn't great for Miles Turner's value, but they did play okay together. So I think there is some value in Sabonis over the next couple of years, and he can still improve over those next 2 to 3 seasons. Next up, TJ Warren, who was the 52nd ranked player. We've talked about TJ a lot, but this is over the course of all of the regular season, including the seeding games. He was 52nd. He played 33 minutes. He averaged 20 and 4 with 1.5 threes and 1.2 steals on a massive true shooting of 61 with a positive PIPM and Raptor. This versus what he did in those seeding games is way more realistic. Yeah, he's not going to be a 30-point scorer with 6 rebounds and 1.5 blocks and 1.5 steals and shooting 60% from 2. Those are unrealistic numbers. Because then you could say, well, look what he did in the playoffs. He averaged 20 points, but he played 39 minutes to get there. He blocked 0.3 shots. Yeah, there is he was still really, really good in those playoff games. 20 and 6 with 3 assists, 2 threes, and over 2 steals. But it's not a realistic expectation over a course of a season. So I think TJ is probably going to be that 5th round player, probably 4th round player, to be honest. I think he can maybe push into that. I think he does crack the 20-point per game mark in terms of scoring for this season, but some of those bubble numbers aren't realistic, and there is going to be a drop-off coming at some point for TJ in the next couple of years, because he is 27, and yeah, that his game is based so much on that efficiency. And when that, if that goes from 54 or 55% from the field down to 48, then he tumbles. He loses a lot of his value, and he goes from a 40 ranked player to a 70, to an 80, to a top 100 sort of player. But a really, really strong season from Warren, and one of the best and most fun players to watch in the bubble. Miles Turner, we've talked a bit about him. His PIPM and Raptor were okay, 0.57 PIPM, negative 0.8 Raptor. 18 usage, that's the worry. Is you'd want that to go a bit higher. His best usage season was his first season, where he had 21%, and then he had a couple of 20% ones, and then dropped off even further with Sabonis in the starting lineup. He averaged those seven assists or 6.6 rebounds. He's never a high rebound guy, but the thing that can improve there with him, 1.4 threes. Like, he can be a guy that hits 2 to 2.5 threes. He's quite an efficient shooter. You know, true shooting 57 is pretty good. He can improve that, because that 2-point percentage was rough at 54%. And some of that's because of playing with Sabonis, and Sabonis being so close to the basket and Turner being stationed out further. His ideal fit is on a different team. And if you do have him in any sort of dynasty scenario, you hope that he gets traded to a situation where he plays as a center. Because let's be honest, him and Sabonis playing together, while Turner might be the center on defense, in terms of on offense, he's definitely playing as a power forward, which doesn't help his numbers. It decreases his overall efficiency. Turner and Sabonis are basically the same age, so there is, you know, room for both of these guys to grow. And I can see it there pretty easily for Turner. Instead of playing 29 minutes, he plays 33 minutes. Instead of hitting 1.4 threes, he hits 2.4. He gets 16 points, 7, 8 rebounds, 2.3 blocks, and can shoot 50 and 80 from the field and from the line. Like, there's real scope there to be a top 20 player in the next 2 to 3 seasons. So I am still buying on him. And if you take it by some of these, you know, is he worth a late pick? Yeah, some of these questions that get asked, and the general idea about Turner around the league and around fantasy basketball circles, is people don't like him. So you can get him at a cheaper price than I think his actual value will be in the coming seasons. Next player up for us is Malcolm Brogdon, the 71st ranked player. Brogdon's value in the past had been his ridiculous efficiency. He didn't quite deliver that. Only 31 minutes, 16 points, 5 rebounds, and 7 assists. Now, we didn't really know how he'd go as a full-time point guard, considering he'd been playing off the ball since his rookie season. But if you went back to look at his rookie season and look at his assist rate, you noticed that he could improve his assist numbers. Now, they improved to a degree that I didn't expect. He averaged 7 assists per game this season. As a rookie, he averaged 4.2 in 26 minutes. So he was able to increase that assist rate, you know, at a pretty high level. But what did also happen is his steal rate, that dropped off. His efficiency went from a true shooting of 62% down to 54. And that coincided with a usage rate increase of 21 up to 25. So yeah, that's the issue there, is that when he was, because he was a really solid shooter, he just never took shots with the Bucks. He was never that guy who was just banging in lots of threes. He shot 43% from three in his last year in Milwaukee and attempted under 4 per game. Forced into a larger role, he couldn't keep that efficiency up, and that forced his numbers down. And he was only a marginally better player than what he was the year before. In Milwaukee, he was ranked 72nd despite playing 28 minutes. In Indiana, playing 30 plus minutes, he was ranked 71. And that's with that increase in assists, because that efficiency really, really dipped for him. His steal rate fell off as well. What we also have to expect, he's just going to miss games. This guy consistently seems to have lower body problems, quads and hips and calves and hamstrings. There's always something going on with his lower body. So I'm not calling him injury prone, but when it's the same area and the same thing continually sort of happening and all those interconnected body areas, you have to worry that there is a problem there. He's also 28 as well, so that's somewhat of a concern for his long-term value. I think he'll be pretty solid in this similar range again next season. But again, if he can improve that efficiency back to Milwaukee levels, and he jumps to the top 40 really comfortably. So there is upside in him there. And if you're taking him in that 70 to 85 range, 65 to 85 range, that's you're expecting what he did this year. And I don't really see how it goes backwards from what he did this year. If he goes from 0.6 steals to 1.1 steals, if he goes from 44% from the field to 48% from the field, then you've already jumped 20 spots, and the upside is significant with Brogdon, if that is indeed where his ADP starts coming in. Next player up is Jeremy Lamb, 113th ranked player. negative 0.22 PIPM, true shooting of 55. He was pretty strong for most of the season, but then suffered that horrendous left knee, ACL, broken kneecap, a whole bunch of injuries in that knee. He is going to return at some point in the 2020-2021 season. It probably won't be initially. He won't be playing big minutes straight away. I think we can just write him off as a standard league player straight off here. We're going to have Brogdon. We're going to have Oladipo, most likely. We're going to have Aaron Holiday in the mix. And then Lamb is going to be like a 23, 24-minute a night player. Maybe that ramps up as the season goes along, but I wouldn't be expecting too much. His value, as I mentioned earlier, came from 1.2 steals. He hits free throws nicely, but it's on low attempts. He doesn't get rebounds or assists and low-volume threes and low-volume scoring. And he is 28 already. And he's going to be 29 by the end of next season. I think he can be a solid enough player. And maybe at some point he gets back into the top 100. But even this season, where it was literally his best opportunity to be a top 100 player with Oladipo out, he didn't do it because he just isn't that guy that's got these high usage or high assists or his super high steals or big free throw rate or great efficiency. He's sort of just below average. He's like a Rudy Gay, late career Rudy Gay, just below average in every category. And that's sort of where Jeremy Lamb sits at this point. Next guy up, Justin Holiday, 146th ranked player. He is an unrestricted free agent, going to be in pretty high demand as a wing defender, but he is 31. He played just 25 minutes a night, so why is he this high? Well, it's much like Lamb, it's the 1.2 steals. That's really all he's offering. 1.8 threes is fine, but league average is like 1.6, so it's barely above league average. He doesn't score 8 points. He's... advanced numbers were pretty good. Raptor 2.5, true shooting 59. But low usage, he's hitting threes, he's getting steals, he's a streamer type option, and he's not a reliable must roster type guy. And at his age, any sort of fall off in that shooting could be pretty disastrous to his overall value. Next up is Victor Oladipo, 169th ranked player this year. Negative 1.06 PIPM, 1.1 Raptor, 51 true shooting, a guy that I was really, really down. Like, his ADP was 74. People were taking him in the 50s in drafts. I was like, don't draft him until outside the top 100. And because you just don't know when he's going to come back. And in the end, he came back way later than expected. And he was shithouse when he came back because this injury, this quad injury, is something that we've never seen players try and come back from outside of Tony Parker, who was already 34 at that point anyway. It appears that Oladipo could be in real trouble of never getting back to that level that he was at. He shot 39% from the field. He shot 32% from three. Part of the reason why he was so elite back in that year, 17-18, was really high steal numbers, really high block numbers. He just doesn't have that at this point. Maybe that can come back, but his value was 2+ steals and 1 block. I really just don't see that happening for him. Now, he did average 2.3 steals in the playoffs. It's 4 games, though, and he averaged 18 points on 29 usage. But that efficiency is really rough. And I think we should be considering Oladipo as top 50-ish player best case at this point. Maybe top 40 absolute best case. Never back into that top 20, top 15 sort of a range. Oladipo is going to be 29 in a couple of months. He's disillusioned, it seems like, with Indiana. And maybe he wants out, could go to a different team. But even if he goes to a different team, the problem is not Indiana for him, I don't think. It's his shot selection, it's his lack of efficiency, and it's the evaporation of defensive stats. That's the problem, not the fact that he plays for the Pacers and he's not getting an opportunity. Because the problem was he was getting too much opportunity and he was just firing away and the shots just weren't going in. Aaron Holiday, 203rd ranked player, had real opportunities this year with Brogdon out, with Oladipo out, and... at times struggled. We saw preferential treatment given to TJ McConnell from Nate McMillan, which I really disliked. And there were times where Holiday was actually pushed out of the rotation when players were healthy, which is pretty ridiculous to me. He started 35 games and he played 30 minutes in those games. Now, they're not numbers to write home about. 11 points, 5 assists, 1.5 threes. But again, a Nate McMillan team just doesn't shoot threes. This bloke is a 40% three-point shooter. He's attempting 3.7 a game in 30 minutes. It should be double that number. This bloke should be hitting 2.9 threes, getting 6 assists, and averaging 15 points. And I think that that is not even best-case scenario, but legitimate median outcome for Aaron Holiday in the coming years. He's 24, so he's not super young as a third-year player. And the opportunity with Brogdon, with Oladipo still ahead of him, it's not really there. But I'm still waiting on him for a couple of years' time to see where he can go. Again, a positive Raptor, really good three-point shooting. I thought he showed some distribution skills and some defensive ability. I think he can be a solid starting point guard. But unless this team starts embracing shooting threes, and because it's not like they're bad three-point shooting players. You've got really good ones in Miles Turner, in Malcolm Brogdon, in Aaron Holiday, and then people developing into three-point shooters like TJ Warren. These guys can do it. They just aren't empowered to do it, and we'll see what happens with a new coach coming in. TJ McConnell, the 209th-ranked player, he is going to turn 29 next season, 19 minutes, 6 points, 5 assists. One of those players, a bit like a Matty Dellavedova. Yes, I know they weren't both white blokes, but the fact that you can add them in off a waiver wire and they get you assists. When McConnell plays, he'll get you assists. When Dellavedova played, he'd get you assists. Like, that is the value that they bring. McConnell also a real big efficiency guy, 52% from the field, because he doesn't shoot threes because he's shit house at them. He attempted 0.2 threes per game, which is a horrible, horribly low number, but he's efficient in the shots that he does take, and that's fine. You don't want him taking lots of threes, but you want the guys who are good three-point shooters to take those shots. McConnell just is a guy, a deeper league player, who we look to as an option for an assist streamer. And that's really it. I don't see much changing with him in the coming seasons. He's also got a contract for next season, but only $1 million of that is guaranteed. I expect they bring him back and they guarantee that full $3.5 million deal. Doug McDirt, the 269th-ranked player, negative 1.4 Raptor, a massive 62 true shooting. Dougie McDermott is a great shooter. That's what he is. Like, he hit 44% of his threes, 54% of his shots were threes, but why isn't it Duncan Robinson's taking 89% of his shots from three? Why isn't Doug taking 70%? Like, it's still too low. He doesn't do anything else. He is a guy that combined average less than 1.5 assist blocks and steals. That is unfathomably low, but this is what he does. Great efficiency, hits threes, great three-point streamer. Doesn't matter. Even if he starts, hey, McDermott's getting 30 minutes a night. Cool. My league needs to be 300 deep for me to really even consider him. That's a bit unfair. 200 deep to consider him. But what he does is great. He hits threes. He should hit more of them. And that value is fine. He tries hard on defense, but he's not a great defender. And he's solid enough in that backup role, who's more of a four than a three at this point in his career. Next player, why is Jeremy Lamb coming up again? That's exactly not what I'm looking for. But let's have a look at exactly what's going on there, because that is not the player I'm talking about. All right, so the guy that I do want to talk about is actually Jakar Sampson, the 342nd ranked player. Sampson's still somehow hanging around in the league. They play him at center. Remember when he came in and played for the Sixers, he was playing small forward? He's playing a lot of center now. 14 minutes a night. He's still not even 28 years of age. He averaged five points per game, two rebounds, half a steal, half a block, 59%. This is a guy that, when given opportunities, has put up interesting numbers. I don't really think it's anything to look at long term, but 62 true shooting, a positive Raptor. When he is pushed into a role, he can be at least serviceable. Now, he's an unrestricted free agent. I think he should get an opportunity somewhere, but realistically, he's a third stringer. And he's not someone you want to be relying upon to be your backup center, but I thought he put together some interesting numbers when he was given that chance. Edmund Sumner. Pacers people really like this guy. He hasn't really shown it yet. He's going to turn 25. Of course, the first couple of years of his career were really derailed by a knee injury. He played 14 minutes a night. He averaged 5 points with two assists. 55% shooting from the line is horrendous. 26% from three, leading to a true shooting of 59, and those advanced numbers are terrible. Can he become better? I'm starting to lose faith in him at age 25. He's big, he can defend, but he can't shoot, and he struggles with his playmaking. He's not a high usage player. I need to see something more from him from there. I'm not completely ruling it out for Sumner, but it's not going well at the moment for him, and the knee injuries have obviously had a real impact, and if he can't shoot, then it's really hard to see him carve out any sort of regular role. The Gogomobile, the Dart, Gogomadadze.
Problem with my Gogomobile. Gogomobile?
No, not the Dart. Not the Dart.
I thought the Pacers would play him a little bit more. He was the 408th ranked player. He played just 9 minutes a game, 3 points and 0.7 blocks. when he got opportunities, I thought he looked okay. 47% from the field, 73 from the line, only 19% from three. Now, he is a better three-point shooter than that. He can shoot, he can rebound, he can score, and he can block shots. And we saw him blocking those shots. He only started two games. In those two games, he blocked 8 shots combined, and he averaged 8 and 8 with 3.5 assists. Now, it's two games, obviously, but it's a little bit interesting. And those two games he started were back in November, where he blocked 4 shots in each of them, and one of them in only 19 minutes. He blocks shots, and he blocks them well. He only played 6 games in the G League, but in the G League, he averaged 19 and 13, with 4 assists, with 3.3 blocks, and shooting 2 threes made per game on 36%. If that doesn't get your old little guy getting a bit excited, then I don't know what it is. Now, is he going to be that impactful at the NBA level? Not yet. I think he still is an absolute starting caliber center, a guy that can block shots, shoot threes, pass, score, rebound. Best case scenario, Yusuf Nurkic type of a player, but can hit some threes. Still needs to get there. Still 3 years away probably from finding that role, and it may never ever be on this team. But people will look at what he did this year. This is the guy, 3 points, 2 rebounds. You can get him for absolutely nothing in a dynasty league. And it's not going to happen this year. It's not. It might not happen the year after, but I still believe in him long-term being able to be a really high-caliber player in the NBA. So don't discount the dart. Naz Mitru-Long, the 440th ranked player. He only played 5 games, 9 minutes per game. Played a lot in the G League this year. Only averaged 13 points with 6 assists and a steal, and shot 33% from 3. Really nothing exciting. That Raptors really huge, 5.8, but it's in such limited minutes that I'm not really buying too much about it. If we look at what he was able to do in terms of G League PIPM, it was 0.18, so it's actually not that exciting, and I don't think he really has too much of an NBA future. TJ Leaf, who was inexplicably the Pacers' first-round pick a couple of years ago, only 8 minutes a night. The guy that allegedly was a 40% shooter, can't hit free throws or can't hit threes anymore. 44% from the line, 28% from three, 45% true shooting. He should not be in a rotation. He probably should not be on a roster, but he is only 23 still, so maybe someone sees something in him. I don't know why they would. He can still probably get better, but I don't really know what he's bringing. He's a guy that shot well in college from three, but doesn't shoot free throws well. That's usually a combination that doesn't work, and it hasn't really worked in the NBA. Not a good rebounder, doesn't get defensive numbers. Upside for TJ Leaf is very, very limited. Alize Johnson, 455th ranked player, a guy that puts up just monster G League numbers. He's only 24. I'm just not sure it's ever going to happen at NBA level for him. Yeah, 51 true shooting at the NBA level is not good. His G League PIPM at 0.64 was pretty strong. And if we look at what he did this year, his first season in the G League, he averaged 19 and 14. This season, he averaged 20 and 13 with 4 assists. Now, he doesn't protect the rim. He's not a high-volume 3-point shooter. He's a good, a massive rebounder, a good scorer, but there's that sort of scoring and the usage that he takes to get there, which is 24% this year, with an inability to defend and protect the rim, is that ever going to be good for an NBA team? I'm not sure. I'm not confident of it. Those numbers in the G League are really interesting, obviously, but is that something that's ever going to translate into a positive? Now, could he overtake a Doug McDermott and a TJ Leaf to be a backup power forward in this rotation? He's a restricted free agent as well. Yes, I'd like to see them give him that opportunity. But yeah, best case scenario, he has a top 250 NBA season in 18 minutes a night. Could he develop into a Jermichael Green? He needs to become a better three-point shooter. That's not outrageous, but he's also nowhere near the defender that Jermichael Green is at this point in his career. And the last guy we talk about is Brian Bowen II, their second-round draft pick, who was on a two-way. Barely saw him in the NBA. 6 games, 5 minutes a night. His his shooting was absolutely horrible. He didn't hit a three at all, and just 30% overall from the field. But if we look at what he did in the G League, he played 34 minutes, 34% from three on almost 5 attempts, 88 from the line, that's strong, 8 rebounds, 1 steal, 0.8 blocks, 16 points. And when I saw him at Summer League, I thought he looked impressive. He handled the ball, he ran point at some point, he defended really well, he rebounded really strongly, and that translated over to the G League. So I wouldn't say that he's a write-off after one season. We're a long way away from him even being considered an NBA rotation player. He was on a one-year, two-way deal, so he's a restricted free agent. He might not be brought back. But I can see a scenario where he can work into a 20-minute-a-night backup guard role in 3 or 4 years' time. I'm not writing him off. Definitely, he's got more value than TJ Leaf, Naz Long, might be able to replace Edmund Sumner, and maybe even Alize Johnson. But we're still a long way away from that for Bowen, who just turned 22, so he's still relatively young. That'll do it for me today, guys, and talking about the Indiana Pacers. So, don't forget to subscribe, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Stitcher, Spotify, YouTube. Give me a thumbs up. Leave a comment down below as well. And then tomorrow's show, which team are we doing after the Indiana Pacers? That's a really good question. We are doing the Boston Celtics, I believe. Yes, we are doing the Boston Celtics. So get your questions in for the Celtics, either if you're a Patreon subscriber over on the Discord over there. Check out the Twitter questions. Check out the Instagram story as well, guys. We are done here. Thank you so much for listening, everyone. See ya.